Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. The first funeral that I ever did was unusual. It was for a woman who had died about a decade before I was born. Like I said, it was unusual. I've never done another one like it, and I'm quite certain that I never will. But it was also one of the most beautiful expressions of what God's relentless love looks like. Here's the story. I was sitting in the office at my previous congregation, and at the time, I was a seminary intern, like a practice pastor. My office at that time was two doors down from the senior pastor's office, and it was in this office suite, and most of us would keep our doors open so that it was pretty easy to hear other folks' conversations if they were on the phone or talking with somebody else. And for the most part, you got pretty good at just tuning out what people were saying. But occasionally, someone would say something, and it would catch your ear. That day, I heard my boss take a phone call, and I heard him say, "Huh, well, we have a seminary intern here at the moment, and this sounds like the perfect opportunity for him. I'll have him give you a call." 30 seconds later, my senior pastor walked into my office. He handed me a phone number and said, "I have a funeral for you. The woman died 40 years ago. They'd like you to perform a graveside service at Lakewood Cemetery next week. Give the daughter a call." And then he smiled and walked out. This morning, we have in front of us two of three parables that Luke's gospel tells us about lost things. Chapter 15 culminates in the parable of the lost son, or what we often hear of as the prodigal son, and we will hear that story next week. But this week, however, we have the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. These are powerful little parables. Jesus jams a lot into these few verses that Pastor Freeman read for us. But before we dive into the parables themselves, I want you to pay attention to the context. Why does Jesus tell these stories? Because the religious leaders are a little salty. They're mad. They're grumbling to one another because of the company that Jesus keeps. They have thoughts about who a person like Jesus should be spending his time with. And these tax collectors and sinners aren't the right kinds of people. So Jesus tells them two stories. Stories of unwavering dedication and reckless love. In these two parables, both the shepherd and the woman embody this almost manic pursuit of the one thing that is missing in their life. Everything else gets put on hold. Everything else fades into the background as these two individuals pursue that which is lost. Then, when the sheep and the coin are found, there is this feeling of unbridled joy. Jesus says that they both kind of throw a party to celebrate what has been found. It's not enough that the shepherd and the sheep and the woman and the coin are reunited, but the rest of the community, friends and neighbors, gets drawn into the joy of these two individuals. It's not a private affair. Jesus says that there's an extravagant celebration. It's fair to assume that the cost of the party was greater than the value of the individual sheep and coin. But that doesn't matter. What matters is these things are now home. They're reunited. They're together. Just in case the metaphor is still a little fuzzy, you're the coin. You're the sheep. And God has come to find you. You are the one for whom God is searching. You are the object of Jesus' singular focus. You are the one for whom God moves heaven and earth. You are the one for whom Jesus becomes flesh. You are the one that God is looking for. You're the one that Jesus has found. It can be hard at times to believe and trust that you are the recipient of a love that fierce, a love that tenacious, a love that doesn't forget or move on. But you are. After my senior pastor left my office, I plucked up the courage to call this daughter. She told me that her mom had died in the late 1960s. She told me that at the time she was 17 years old, and that her mom was her best friend. The daughter told me that through a series of really unfortunate events, the cemetery had disinterred her mother's remains and subsequently misplaced the casket. The daughter was understandably devastated. And over the course of the next 40 years, she would periodically visit the cemetery, trying to find her mom. And then after she moved across the country, she would call and write letters. Every year, she would try and contact the cemetery officials and plead her case, trying to see if anybody could locate her mother's remains. Finally, in 2008, someone came across an unmarked casket, and the engagement ring that her mother had been buried with was sent to the daughter to confirm that her mother had indeed been found. That summer, four of us gathered around a graveside at Lakewood Cemetery, and we recommitted her mom's body to the earth. She was laid to rest next to her parents. Thanks to this relentless love of her daughter. And under a beautiful blue sky, not unlike today's, I read this story from Luke's gospel. And in that moment, the four of us who were gathered were reminded that though her body had been lost for 40 years, this woman was never lost to God. We heard the words of promise that we all need to hear these days. When the days and weeks and the years drag on and it feels like we are alone. In that moment, the daughter was reminded that her relentless pursuit of her mother was a godly act. It was a holy act, and that she could now rejoice and celebrate that her mom was home in the embrace of a God who had chased her whole life. This is the story that's been entrusted to us. This is why we're here. Each of you is loved by a God who has torn apart the house, swept it from top to bottom, pursued you from one hillside to the next. Each one of you is loved by a God who will look for you for decades. Each of you is loved by a God who became one of us, died with us on the cross, so that we can forever be found in Jesus' life. Because God will not give up on us, ever. Amen.